song.
You just heard a snippet of Good Old Country Song by country singer-songwriter Rob Fitzgerald. Fresh from the success of the previous singles, Can't I Get an Amen and Another Town, the Canadian-born country artist Rob Fitzgerald returns with his newest country single, Good Old Country Song, an upbeat song that echoes on both the traditional and contemporary country music sides with strong hooks and memorable melodies in a smooth harmony that's aiding to capture the theme of the age-old solution to a breakup song. Here to talk about his new single is Toronto's country singer-songwriter Rob Fitzgerald. It is great to finally have you on the show. We've been talking about this forever, and we finally made this happen. So it's great to have you here, Rob.
And I really appreciate it. And it's like, you know, whatever time it took, and like I said, I've reached out to a number of them, and you got back to me, and I really appreciate it. Like I said, anytime anybody can you know have me on, do an interview and promote an indie country artist is great.
Mm-hmm. And it's so hard for indie artists right now to be able to get that time and be able to get their songs on the radio, because you guys work so darn hard, and people do not realize, fans don't realize what it takes for you guys to be able to get into a studio, to get your touring for just the radio stations. It costs so much money just to prepare for that. And oh man, a lot of work.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I want to make sure that we're getting on. We're going to play three of your songs today.
Wow. Awesome.
Is that okay?
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I figured it's taken us so long to get this one done. So I just, I thought, you know what, let's play all three.
So I also sent you a link probably about an hour or so ago.
For the video?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I haven't, I don't know if you had a chance to look at that. But
I just watched it.
You're the first one to see it, actually, aside from kind of all the behind the scenes people that, you know, kind of needed just to see it. But
I love it. So, I absolutely love it. You got something to be really proud of there.
I appreciate it. That's good. That's good. So
that's going to be released, what, next week?
Next week, yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. The fans are going to love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's so much fun when you get to start doing all that stuff. And this is the third or second video that you did in that same studio?
This is actually the first with Roadhouse, but I'll be doing one. We booked one right after we had done that for Good Old Country Song.
Nice.
And yeah, so.
Mm. Well, you know what? They are such a great studio. They have done so much work for a lot of the artists that we have on here.
Yes, that's right. That's actually where I saw their work, you know, with the circle of country music that, you know, we're kind of in, which is a fairly small circle. And the work they did with everyone, I loved how it looked for everyone. So mm-hmm. It was kind of a no-brainer. So.
Yeah, they've done a fantastic job. Fantastic yes. job. Let's take the fans back to the beginning of your music journey. Now, music was such a big part of your household growing up. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it all started with my mom, you know, and I know that every story is got to start with a family member somewhere. But my mom was huge into music, and it wasn't just country. It was absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would sit down, headphones on, and play the records that she had. And we're talking everywhere from Elvis Presley to the Beatles to the Stones to, you know, Waylon Jennings to, you know, Johnny Cash, the Band. Yeah, I could just go on, but she was all over the map, and I love music because of that.
Mm-hmm. Same yeah. here. You know, it was the same thing for me. My parents used to have dance parties all the time, and all the kids, you know, would come over to the house, and they would just, you know, teach different types of music, and, you know, we would all get to listen to the different genres, and you just really get an appreciation, and you get a really good ear as well, you know, from
music.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the influences started, and you know, without even knowing, they came from all of that. And of course, I had my rebellious phases, you know, going through whatever phase and during my teens and things like that. But you know, always kind of got back to the roots again. And I think you're going to hear a lot of that in the style of music in my writing. So there's kind of a mix of all of that. In how I do it. So
is there a band that stood out to you the most, like your biggest influence in music that led you to want to pursue this as your own career?
I love the Rolling Stones, and I still do to this day. the writing style, just kind of the freedom they had to write and never stick with one genre. You know, you're going to hear some soul, you'd hear some blues, and you'd hear, you know, Honky Tonk Woman, a country song. And I absolutely loved that, that, you know, whatever they felt like writing and that freedom at the time to just do whatever they felt like. And it was always well received. But not only that, it was so well done. The Allman Brothers, I was huge into the Allman Brothers. And, you know, and then today my biggest influence is Chris Stapleton.
And I know he's, oh man, there's not enough that you can say about the talent, you know, for him. Like it doesn't matter whether he's playing a huge stadium or whether or not he's just in a very small venue. It's just, you can hear a pin drop when he's singing.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Oh. His writing, his vocals, just everything about him. And he's got a great team around him for co-writing as well. But, you know, I always say if I could write songs that good, you know, that that would be great.
Well, I think as you've, you know, throughout the years when you're going into songwriting sessions, that's joining those seminars and getting into that is just that's the whole key, is writing and writing and writing. Did you find that worked for you as well?
It did, kind of in the days, and I haven't always been an artist. It was more, I was more a songwriter.
Exactly.
And you know, I joined the National Songwriters Association and made a whole lot of contacts, and just started writing with people, joined seminars. I joined one out of California, and you know, when it was time to actually have my music reviewed, I joined the Durango Songwriter Festival. And industry people listened to it. And I've just learned so much along the way. And my songwriting, it just as part of it, just got better and better with everybody I was co-writing with. And out of Durango, I acquired a mentor. And he came to me and said, I like what I heard. Would you like a mentor? And I said, absolutely. And his name is Warren Sellers. And he's a lifelong songwriter, co-written songs with so many people. So I'm still, to this day, I meet with him every 2 weeks, even now.
Nice.
And what I learn, and but basically what I do is take my songs to him and learn along the way. And you know, every month, every 2 weeks, there's so much more of the craft to learn. And there's some benefits that have happened from all of this. Writing songs and getting better at this craft, I've now getting phone calls and messages saying, hey, I'd like to co-write with you. Well, that's great, because that's actually what the goal was. First and foremost, you know, before recording, before playing live, is to make sure that the songs are really, really strong. So
going from that transition, going from that transition, you know, from being a songwriter, because that's what your whole pursuit was, and going from pitching to a publishing company to going in as a songwriter, tell us about what that transition story was for you, because you had a unique one there.
It was kind of tough because once again, I have my own style. So, and I couldn't say, all right, well, I'm going to write a song that's in this style, in this style. And it for me, it didn't work that way. So pitching to publishers, and it was always at, you know, a little bit of a disappointment, where it's like, we're not going to take it. But the comments that came out is like, okay, is that you singing? Is that you playing? And what are you trying to do, and why are you not an artist? So I heard that a few times, and then after writing Can I Get an Amen and tried to pitch that, I heard it even more. And so I consulted with a few industry people that, you know, I you know, respect their opinion, and decided to rebrand and actually take the artist track and give it a try. And that was last July, so we haven't even come up to a year yet.
Yeah, because you hit the stage, I think, for the first time.
As a
singer-songwriter.
It was right around that time. And, you know, it was still a small singer-songwriter stage. But in the afternoon, I was pulled up on the big stage for Can I Get an Amen? And it was my first kick at Canadian Country Radio. And so I thought I'd just try it myself, see how it worked. And I got on 30 radio stations across Canada.
Nice.
So I had a lot of songs that I felt were even stronger that I had written throughout the year, and booked a Baird Music Studio down in Nashville, and went down and recorded the three singles. with the plan of coming back and having kind of a plan of attack and release the three throughout the year.
It's so nice too when you're going to Nashville and you're getting those incredible studio musicians. Like these guys can play like, there's just no comparison to what they can do. And people don't really realize that either. Fans don't really realize that these guys that are playing in these studios, they play so many instruments. They can do things and make sounds that you just never even heard of. And you notice it when you're going to play live music, right?
You're absolutely right. And I played with a lot of good musicians, and there's lots everywhere. And going down there, meeting with the producer and going through pre-production. And then we sat down and to do the tracking. Mm-hmm. And I got goosebumps after the first song we recorded. And I'm just doing ghost vocals at the time. And literally, I got goosebumps. And it was one take. And, you know, the tracking was done aside from overdoses. Nice. And I knew at that point, I said, this is probably the better way for me. You know, it made sense that this is what I'm going to do from now on. So with the songs I've written and still writing, I've already booked the studio again for three new songs.
Oh,
this
wow.
September.
Nice.
So I'm just going to keep the momentum going. And it worked. And I've actually got the same formula, the same cast. So it's a 6-piece band, including fiddle. Tanya Hantroff on vocals, who, when she did my backing vocals, she was leaving to go on tour with Amy Grant.
Nice.
So the session musicians have played with everybody, and that's what they do for a living. So it's it just makes sense. I'll be heading back down there again in September.
Well, amazing, amazing job. As I said, I know it's so difficult when it comes to being an independent artist, and it's a different position too, because being a big family man and becoming an artist, like, that's a big change too. What's that been like for you?
So the family consensus was a no-brainer, sitting down and laying it out, saying, I'm going to have to make sure that if I'm going to do this, that, you know, to go both feet in and give it all I have. And everybody was in agreement that if I don't, shoulda, woulda, coulda, you know, what would have happened if I hadn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm having an absolute blast. And the idea is to kind of keep it all in perspective. That, you know, first of all, nothing comes overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it because I love it in the first place. So to just keep on doing it.
It's kind of cool coming from that perspective, because I always talk about this with artists that forget, like, they're always trying to write the hit song for radio and forgetting, you know, to write the song because it's just a love of music. That's what you started doing this all for. And then now you're taking on the other aspect of this journey. So it's kind of cool.
That's right. And the business part of it too, isn't just you have to wear, there's about 15 different hats you need to wear as an mm-hmm. artist, especially an indie artist.
Exactly.
So it's all about the promoting. You need to reach out to try and book shows yourself. And you know, it's one thing if you're a New Moon Junction, you have three people to do the work. In this case, it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the side. And that's usually my mornings when I'm not working, is doing music business.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to get to the creative side and make sure that doesn't kind of fall behind it while you're trying to do everything else. So
there's labels they want turnkey. You have
that's
to
right.
have so many followers on every single streaming platform. They want to see that on YouTube. They want to see your video content. They want to see that you are a complete package, that you've done the legwork, that you've been in the writing sessions for so long, you've played the small venues, that you're hungry, really
right.
hungry to make it happen.
I totally agree. And yeah, and that's where the music is at these days. You know, it's long gone are the days that in our people come out and they take a look at you and they like what they hear. If it's as raw as it is, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right. They want the full 360 degree package.
100%. And it's not easy. It's really not easy, because just one studio session, And if you don't cut it in, like, it depends on how long it takes you. And studio sessions, like you said, they know what they're doing. So then you know that you're going to get a really good cut quick. And
absolutely.
That's handy when it comes to the finances, right? It's not, it's not an easy business to be able to pursue, and you got to really love what you're doing. But like you said, you've been doing this a long time as a songwriter, so that helps.
Yeah, I agree.
That makes a big, big difference. What's been the hardest part for you so far as a musician?
I wouldn't say anything has been hard. I think anything that I've encountered, I'll probably think of it as I'm saying this, just, you know, is just trying to figure it out along the way. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I'm going to go to radio. What, you know, okay, I don't know anybody. How do I go to radio? And it's about shopping around and finding somebody that's going to believe in your music. Mm-hmm. And, you know, grassroots promotion in Nashville absolutely loves my music. And so right now they're promoting my current single and throughout the U.S. So it's great to find people that are on board. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can strike out with 50 before you find one. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that is probably one of the hardest things. And then, you know, going out there, and there's a lot of conservative industry people out there that they don't necessarily want to touch you until, you know, you've reached that level, a certain level. So, and then there are others.
It's so true. Yeah.
And I understand that, and that's okay, because, you know, I'm all right with dealing with the track record, mm-hmm. and proving what I need to prove along the way. And if at the same time, there are others saying, I really like this, and I want you to play here now, mm-hmm. you know, that type of thing. So the others that are sitting a little more conservative will probably come around as the rest of it kind of works it out, and get myself out there, and they start to see that, yeah, there's more bookings coming, and you know, and then jump on board. So
yeah, they love that consistency, don't they? They just want to make sure that that's there. So we're talking about the music industry and talking about radio stations, because you can hear an incredible song, but there's only so many slots in radio for new singles. And that's why they tend to go with the seasoned artists that release new stuff. You guys are in huge competition all the time just to get one song on the radio. And when you finally do, it's an amazing place to be, because it's so much blood, sweat, and tears. It's so such hard, hard work that you guys put into it just to get that far.
Absolutely. And, you know, but at the same time, there are still radio stations, especially in Ontario, mm-hmm. and there's a few in Quebec, and right now Saskatoon, actually in Alberta, that are willing. Yeah, yeah, they're willing to play indie, and which is great. Mm-hmm. And I've done interviews with them as well, so you're still able to get that great exposure. But you know, I listen to a radio station right next to me, in Hamilton, and they won't play artists like me. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's just all about the grind. And all about trying to create that track record, increasing the numbers every single time that you put out, and hopefully somebody will take notice. So mm-hmm. the music industry, it's a high dollar industry.
It is. So it's a running business, right? It's a running business. But the fans also have such a huge role now with these streaming platforms, because if they add a song that they love to their playlist, you got listeners from all over the world that see these larger playlists, and people just out of curiosity starting to just tap into it just to hear new music. And that's all they do all day. And it's kind of cool, because, you know, you're getting heard in Japan, and you're getting heard in Germany. You're getting heard in all these, like Switzerland, and it's just crazy. Iceland, Alaska, you know, that you never would have thought were listening to country.
That's right. And that's the other side of that. It's the streaming side. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I release, Can I Get an Amen? It was like, okay, what type of a campaign do I do to head out there to the streaming services? So it was not that I floundered, but it was another, you know,
learning curve.
And so the nice thing is about each song that I've put out since, I've been added to more and more playlists. The plays, cool. You know, the number of streams are coming. You know, of course, Spotify is all about both the Spotify popularity, mm-hmm. and so popularity has gone up, and that starts to bring a little bit more as well. And so you start to get into some better playlists, and my current one, Good Old Country Song, I think we're pushing 40 playlists that it's in right now.
Mm-hmm. Are you on TikTok as well?
I am.
Yeah, and because TikTok seems to be a real key, because you're seeing so many people of all different ages and genres that they love, but just doing different things with songs.
And I'm getting good views on, and now what I do with TikTok most of the time is I'll do covers. And to just kind of get that different perspective and look at me. And I haven't, because I've been so busy in the last little while, but was kind of posting every couple of weeks some cover songs. And there's some originals there.
You know what you need to do?
You know what you tell me.
And it works. It works really, really well. Is give the fans a challenge to take one of the three songs or whatever, you know, you want to put out there. But Can You Get an Amen would be so much fun, just to see what they would do with that. And give them a challenge to say, I want to see something really cool that you can do with the lyrics of this song. And I want to see this played out. Give them a challenge. Send them something.
That's cool. Like a duet then.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. And that means, and I kind of have to change strategies, because duets will only work on certain length. Mm-hmm. Whereas for me, I don't usually worry about the length. I'll do like a verse, chorus. But yeah. I think that works under kind of a minute. And I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, because you'd be surprised at what they can do. And especially you've got Another Town, which, you know, I think everybody can really relate to too. And we're going to be talking about that. But just so many different things, the interpretation to what different fans. That's the whole point about song lyrics and what they're going to get from it. And just seeing the fun they can have with it. And it's just like, you can send them out, you know, signed CDs. And, you know, it's just such a cool thing to do.
I love that idea, Kim. See, I need you more on my social media campaign. So
there you go. There you go. Works really, really well. So we're going to talk about Can I Get an Amen? Because that song is pretty cool. So talk about writing this one.
That one came to me kind of like all songs come to me melody first.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, because you're a melody guy, aren't you?
I am. I'm a huge melody guy. And the chorus came to me first, and it really was kind of obscure. And then it just kind of, as phrases came, and it kind of morphed into, you know, the chant, can I get an all right? Can I get a hell yeah? Can I get an amen? And then the theme came, and then I decided what it would be about. And it was basically a story about a guy who falls in love with a girl at first sight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and
she's a girl that goes to church, and
yeah, she's a Bible carrying girl, and he's, you know, kind of like a lot of young guys, sinners, and in many ways for many different reasons, and if he's going to get the girl, he's going to have to change his ways. So, and that was my first real attempt at a story, and it actually worked. So I was quite happy with the outcome, and
it's a toe tapper. It's a toe-tapper.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
We're going to play this one right now. So here is Can I Get an Amen by Canadian country recording artist, singer-songwriter Rob Fitzgerald here on Music's Journey.
When I saw her for the first time, the skin so fair, the long brown hair and a Bible in her hand. Well, I knew I had to make a mind that day. Then her daddy turned to me and said, not a chance in hell till you change your wicked ways. Can I get an all right? Can I get a hell yeah? Can you take me to confession to absolve me of my sins? An angel sent from heaven, and I need to make amends. Can I get an all right? Can I get a hell yeah? Can I get an amen? I went to church on Sunday. I sat behind her while the choir played. She turned to me and smiled and winked her eye when the preacher lectured me. He said, I know your reputation, son. It's the devil's work, they say. But if you want a piece of heaven, get on your knees and pray. Can I get an all right? Can I get a hell yeah? Can you take me to confession to absolve me of my sins? She's an angel sent from heaven, and I need to make.
be my last one. I want to spend my life with the prettiest wife and three kids, Jim, John, and Jed. I gave up drinking, smoking, fighting, toking all the past regrets. But if I'm gonna give it up, I'll need all the help I can get. So can I get an all right? Absolve me of my sins. She's an angel sent from heaven, and I need to make amends. Can I get an all right? Can I get a hell yeah? Can I get an amen? Can I get an all right? Can I get a hell yeah? Can I get an amen? Can I get an all right? Can I get a hell yeah? Can I get an amen? Can I get an
That was Can I Get an Amen by country artist Rob Fitzgerald, bringing us to church with that one. Such a fun song. And a sing-along, too. Great toe tapper, and must be so much fun to play live. So don't forget, you can download Can I Get an Amen on all streaming platforms, and you can share it on all your playlists. And don't forget, you can also request it at your country local radio station as well. So that's really important, because that allows the radio station to know exactly the kind of music that you guys like, and it goes a long way. Really cool.
I love that. That's great. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Okay. So where do you draw your inspiration from?
It's all over the place. And I don't ever have anyone. It could be in the car. It could be while I'm listening to another, you know, one of my playlists. But a lot of times my inspirations come from just picking up the guitar and noodling around. And it's kind of, it is writing in a way. Where I just kind of don't try to force it and see what comes. And there's times that, you know, a little bit comes and, you know, try to find a way to record it, keep working on it. And other times it just flows really well. Can I get an amen? Was one of those that flowed quite well and was fairly simple to be able to continue to work on until it was done.
And you also got the finalist spot in the World Songwriting Awards competition for the traditional country category for that one.
Yeah, and that was a nice surprise after recording that and before I released it to radio. And that was another thing, you know, once I got semi-finalist, the finalist spot, and I thought, okay, and everything else that was coming, why not give the artist a side of track? So, it didn't look back from there. So it's
kind of cool, because I know the pandemic has changed a lot of artists' outlook on life. Did it change your songwriting and creating deeper side?
It did. I think, you know, I want, and you know, I talk to many people that feel the same way. You know, the news and everything was just so negative, and I wanted to write positive.
Nice.
So
we need those positive messages, using, you know, the platforms that we have, just to be able to infuse what people need to do. And that's to turn away from the negativity. Yes, we have to deal with all of that for sure. And there's always a silver lining at the end of the day. That's something that's very small that can get you through, you know, and I think that's the stuff that we need to hold on to.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so co-writing with a good friend of mine out of Nashville, her name is Sarah Peterson, great co-writer. We work really well together. And that was the premise of Another Town is actually a breakup song. And the two songs that I'm going to mention were actually going to be one song. And we had a really difficult time writing. And we realized we actually have two songs here, so we need to separate this. So Another Town was written, you know, the kind of a traditional breakup song. But then Enjoy the Ride was written. And that was basically the song about your checks and balances in life. Are you happy with what you're doing? Is there something else you'd rather be doing than the daily grind, the negativity, things like that? And it's like that. That actually hasn't been released, even though I play it live right now. That'll be released later in September.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that release. That was another one of the songs that was recorded in Nashville.
It's nice when you get somebody that you're comfortable with, and you know that you can go in and you can guarantee you're probably going to be coming out with something, right? And exactly. That's hard to find. It's really hard to find.
It is, especially on my side. I am a melody feel first and foremost, and lyrics don't necessarily always come naturally to me. And maybe it's just the way I'm built, the way I am, things like that. So it's nice to be able to hook up with someone that can pull that out and hear those phrases and start coming up with words.
Yeah, the strong hooks and
Yeah, and that's happening right now with another set of co-writers that I have happening, and so I've got, you know, like I said, there's more coming from all of this, and
nice.
I'm looking forward to even more that's about to happen. So that's
really
great.
Cool.
So
really
thank
cool.
You.
Okay, so let's talk about Another Town, because you've got the music video that's going to be coming out. So let's talk about the writing for this one.
So the writing of this one, basically, it was, you know, it wasn't overly, you know, unique. It's basically just a breakup song, but the catch is the breakup is so bad that he's got to leave town. Hmm. But it's not a sad breakup song. It's actually
getting over it. It's a healthier
side
of it.
And the feel of the song is like you're happy for this guy. He got out of this situation and he's okay with just leaving with his suitcase and his guitar, whatever he can, you know, pack with him and head to another town and start again. So it's that's just a little bit of the difference with it. It's not a down song. It's more of an up song, even though it's what, you know, the content is that, you know, his world's been devastated by this. We've all been there. And we've always wanted to leave, to go somewhere else, to get rid of those memories of that person. So they're just not there anymore. And we've all felt that at some point in our life. So.
Normally we have to face that person in everyday life, or we're seeing them all the time and, you know, places, or, you know, whether or not they're friends, you know, we have mutual friends, that kind of thing. So many people go through all that, but this guy gets up and leaves, and pretty cool. Saves himself that heartache. We're going to play this one right now. And here is Another Town by country artist, singer-songwriter Rob Fitzgerald here on Music's Journey.
Well, it's 4 a.m. in the pouring rain. Got a one-way ticket on a southbound train. The steel road can't take me fast enough to make me forget what you've done to us. 'Cause everywhere I go, everything I do, this whole damn place reminds me of you. So me and my suitcase, gonna find me a new place. I got all I need to get me where I'm going. Damn sure that you were the one. The wood going round, you've been too much fun. I plan to settle down, me and you a kid or two. Now I'm sitting here drowning all the thoughts of you. So don't go looking for me, you won't find me around. Ain't nothing left for me in this old town. So me and my suitcase, gonna find me a new place. Sunrise, you meet anywhere, I don't know, baby, I
That was Another Town by Canadian country recording artist Rob Fitzgerald, capturing the theme of the age-old solution of the breakup song. And absolutely love this one. Really cool, just a little bit of a twist on it. So this one, don't forget, you can download Another Town on all streaming platforms. You can share it on all of your playlists. Don't forget how important that is. And don't forget, you can also request it at your local country radio station. So you've just released the music video for Another Town. Tell us about making the video with Roadhouse Productions.
Well, that was quite exciting because that was my first music video.
Nice.
So it was a no-brainer when I, you know, took a look at Roadhouse Productions' work on their website. And they had worked with so many people that I've performed with, you know, shared the stage with, you know, that country, that music circle here in Ontario is quite small. And I loved their look.
Mm-hmm.
So I contacted AJ, sent him the songs, and the one in particular was Another Town. So we scheduled a date, and unfortunately, it had to be pushed back twice. We wanted to try and do it in April. Well, the Canadian weather wasn't going to
cooperate.
So we got a chance to do it early May, and I couldn't have asked for, you know, better weather. The setting for it is a special setting to me. I have a really close friend. His name is Adrian, and he owns a property that is out in the country, and it's a farmhouse, but he restores old cars. And
oh,
not only
cool.
old cars, yeah, he restores old gas pumps. And we're talking like 1930s, 40s gas pumps. So his property is just covered in old tractors, a 1940s Chevy pickup, which is actually in the video. And he even let me drive it. So, you know, it's the setting on the property, and Roadhouse Productions just absolutely love the setting. And we didn't have to travel to, you know, any further to do, you know, four or five different scene shots. And then we're able to use the country roads for some of it as well.
Very
but we had an
cool.
absolute blast filming Another Town. It was
it's a different feeling when you're taking that side of it, because you, like you said, you're this transition is complete full circle when it comes to being able to do your very first video.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember when he sent me the first draft, I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to look in this? You know, am I doing the right thing in it? So it was, I'm very critical of, you know, how I look, how, you know, what I do, things like that. So it's, but I couldn't have been happier with, you know, the style of filming they did, the angles that they chose, how they told the story, things mm-hmm. like that. Yep. So with AJ and Roadhouse Productions, it was a no brainer for me to book the next one for us to be able to do the video for for Good Old Country Song. And I'm not going to talk about any of that because we've got planned for. We want to wait for people to see it.
Come on.
Yeah. So here's a little teaser. Good Old Country Song will be filmed in a barn.
Nice.
And I don't want to give any more away other than that. So it's
yeah. When's that one going to be?
So we're going to film that the first week of July. So we should probably see that come out close to the end of July.
Nice. Oh, looking forward to that one. Now, you have played a lot of intimate stages over your career. What is your favorite kind of stage to play?
Believe
it or
not,
you're doing both.
Yeah, believe it or not, I still love the songwriter round.
Hmm.
I love that stripped down, vulnerable feel that, and it's so intimate with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I've played quite a few in Nashville and here in Ontario. You know, the Moonshine is great for that.
Yeah, that's a great opportunity for fans to be able to hear, because it brings the lyrics to life in a different way. It's like going to the Bluebird and, you know, in the US and sitting there and listening to songwriter. You can again hear a pin drop, because it's a different type of audience.
It is.
I've played
the Bluebird, and you can hear a pin drop.
Mm-hmm.
Their motto with the Bluebird is shh. That's their motto.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice to see, and everybody kind of knows that when they come to the Moonshine or any of the songwriter rooms, they know that they're sitting there and they're going to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably the best way I can describe it. You are vulnerably stripped. The music is stripped down. Yeah. It's just
it's nice.
You.
It's really, yeah, really nice to is. Let the lyrics breathe.
And I love that, that relationship you end up getting and that feedback from that whole, you know, just that vulnerability that you've just kind of done, me and my acoustic guitar, mm-hmm. and the people sitting out there listening to that.
I love it. Production. It's my favorite kind of production. It's like sitting around, you know, a campfire with somebody that is your favorite singer and just listening to them play. It's just such a cool experience.
Exactly. You know, you got the bigger stages where you play with a full band, and that's fun. It's just that, you know, it's different. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy that yeah. side of it.
Me too. The other thing that I like too is like when I used to do a lot of the big artists that were coming into town, they would rehearse in a very small, like you wouldn't like hold 50 people. And they would just go in there just to loosen up and just to be able to play. It got them into that real storytelling place. And I have seen some amazing, amazing artists in some of those small venues in Toronto. And that was my favorite. Absolutely loved it.
You often hear them comment that they really enjoy playing those types of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
They don't get to do that very often.
And that's the intimacy of it all. And, you know, you play a bigger show. And I'm sure it's great to have more people, and who wouldn't want more people? And but there's just a further disconnect mm-hmm. that you have, and how do you keep that connection happening the larger the show gets too?
Well, I've done Peter Gabriel, like I remember Johnny Lang coming in and playing B.B. King. There's just like so many different artists that I've seen at that particular venue, and it's not there anymore, but oh man, I used to absolutely love going there. And it's just, you could hear, it's just like you're 2 feet away from the artist.
That's right.
And it's just so much fun. Now, you've played, as I said, a lot of stages, iconic stages in the U.S. The music, experiencing it there live, because the history of music, country music, runs so deep there. What's it feel like playing there in comparison to here?
Well, it is. And the talent there is incredible. Mm-hmm. Whether it's at the Bluebird. And when I played the Bluebird, it was an open mic night. Now, their open mic night is packed.
Mm-hmm.
And when I played there, it was pre-COVID. And the Bluebird documentary movie had just come out. So everybody in the world wanted to experience the Bluebird. So Monday night, the lineup outside, they had to turn people away. So I got a chance to play two songs that night.
Cool.
And it was, you're absolutely right. You're standing in places where so many artists, you know, Garth Brooks and just there's so many others that have been discovered there. So, mm-hmm. and even the other rooms that you'll play, the listening rooms are all good. And, I got a chance to play the local. And so I sent my music down to them, and they booked me. So they put me on the first round, but in the round after me was two writers that have written for well-known artists, and one had mm-hmm. two songs on Morgan Wallen's double album. So that's the kind of talent that you're around. So,
well, it's like being on steroids in Nashville. Like when you're going for writing sessions there, man, be prepared to not sleep. You are there to do it all in a very quick time here.
Absolutely. And it's a great way to find out where you sit as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, are you kind of out in left field, or does it work for you to fit in? Is the applause good? And I played the Commodore as well, mm-hmm. and nice. Really well received there. And that was a great night. It's a humbling experience as well, because, you know, you're surrounded by so much talent. And, you know, it can kind of confirm where you're at mm-hmm. and how much work you still have left to do. And it can also confirm, you know, you're on the right track as well.
Yeah, it makes a big, big difference. And you get a chance to write with some incredible songwriters out there that's all they do is just write and write and write all day. And they're just waiting for these artists to come in. And pretty cool. Pretty cool. Now, you've also done some TV shows as well. I don't know if fans have even known that, but The Shot you did, which is more, you know, like all virtual, isn't it?
It was, and it was all done over COVID. And somebody sent me an invite to sign up for it. And I hummed and hawed. I thought, you know, at the time I was songwriting and, you know, should I or shouldn't I? And I thought, why not? There's not a whole lot else to do. So, and here's another opportunity for me to showcase my music as well. So, so I signed up for it and, was in the TV show, and that was an experience in itself. And
different personalities.
Again, there were many different personalities, and it wasn't just country. So it's not like, you know, you're competing. It was all genres of music.
Mm-hmm.
And, then they did a twist on the formatting and wanted collaborations. And, so they put me with, some, you know, it was adversity, let's put it that way. So
he's going, I'm gonna be really good here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so but it was good because, you know, it gave me a chance to actually do something. And the unfortunate part is you have to perform virtually in, you know, my studio room here, and you know, you're not getting that instant feedback from people except for the judges that are kind of sitting there virtually across from you and giving their feedback, things like that. So
that's like going to the drive-in shows when COVID was first happening and standing there and not seeing one person's reaction and nothing, dead silence.
That's
it's like
right.
You can't see any facial expressions, nothing. It's like tough. It's a tough audience to see how you do.
Yeah. So it was a good, it was an interesting experience. And, I'm glad that I you know, went through it and did it. So it was
You decided to do another one that you decided to do, and that's the Reality Show Canada Sings. I know a few of the artists that did that one, but you know, that's where the cameras are following you around, so it's a little different kind of experience for you. But about a month, right?
Yeah, well, I think that was a good 3 months of between actually rehearsing and cameras following me around, coming to the house. And that was a true reality show.
Well, yeah, because they like the drama for that one.
Absolutely. And they do love the drama. You're absolutely right.
Rob's
and
going,
it's just like,
no.
No, you're absolutely right. And I'm they say, oh, wait a minute, let's take that again. But I want you to say it like this. It's like,
I'm not playing today.
Yeah, that was just not playing. Another interesting thing that I had never experienced before.
I bet.
And but it was all good. So I got a chance to look back at it, and I had a lot of fun doing it.
See, when you look at your resume, all the things that you've done now, right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yes. So.
Well, let's talk about your brand new song that you got out right now. So let's talk about Good Old Country Song. Tell us about writing this one.
So Good Old Country Song, once again, came over COVID. And once again, I just had enough of the negativity and news, and I wanted to write a really fun song. And the chorus came to me really, really quickly, and as the rest of it did as well. And just in the end, what do we really need to just forget about our troubles for the day? And doesn't matter what walk of life you're from, you know, whether you have money, you don't have money, you have a girlfriend, don't have a girlfriend, it doesn't matter. The end of the day, all we need is a good old country song.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, we'll do the music video for that beginning of July. Should be out later July. But Good Old Country Song has gone to U.S. Country Radio. And I'm pretty sure now I just got the report on it. It's in close to 35 radio stations right now. And this coming week, it actually goes to Music Row.
Nice.
So I'm really, really excited about this one to see what's going to happen. And later, the last week of July, I'll be in Kentucky and Tennessee on a radio tour for this.
That's going to be so cool, you know, for fans to be able to see you and be able to hear you on the radio station out there. So kind of cool. I love this one. And we're going to play it right now. Here is Good Old Country Song by indie country recording artist Rob Fitzgerald here on Music's Journey.
We made it to Friday, another long work week gone. Some days were good, some were bad, but we kept on keeping on. What we need is to unwind and escape from ourselves, 'cause in this crazy, wicked, messed up world, we could all use some help. What we need right now is a country song, one to get you on. Singing along to
so now you turn it up. Boot Scoot, Brooks and Dunn, Miranda.
That was Good Old Country Song by country artist Rob Fitzgerald. Don't forget you can download this song and you can add it to all of your playlists and you can request it at your local country radio station. This is just such a great song. And as you said, you got the U.S. radio tour and you got some Ontario shows coming up as well. You got a jam-packed summer.
I do. Yeah. And I almost find I'm a little too busy right now because I'm also trying to get writing in there as well for the next round of sessions. But, you know, I can't complain that, you know, my summer is completely booked and I'm going to have a great time. So I got a few festivals as well. And then some live shows and some band shows and then some intimate, you know, little kind of brewery type shows. So it's kind of a little mix of absolutely everything.
And everybody can check you out where?
You can hit my website, robfitzgeraldmusic.com, for all details that are there. My merch is there as well. All the socials, you can pretty much Rob Fitzgerald Music, and anywhere on any of the streaming platforms, just Rob Fitzgerald.
What is your wife's name?
Sherry.
Sherry. Well, congratulations, Sherry, because you're on the radio as well. So when she played the background vocals, didn't she?
She did for that. Yes, that was for Can I Get an Amen?
See? And Keeping it in the family.
That's right. I had done the choir myself. Mm-hmm. And it was over COVID. No, it was
during COVID, wasn't it?
It was during COVID.
Yeah.
And so I thought, how do I get a choir? How is this going to work? And how is anybody ever going to agree with it? So I recorded myself around the room and I said, it's missing something. So my wife is not a singer. So I said, don't worry about it. I said, I will let you know exactly what you have to sing. And I moved around the room singing the different levels of harmonies, blended it all together, and you've got the choir for Can I Get an Amen?
See, you just never know.
That's talent, right.
That's sitting in just underneath the same roof.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to give her a shout out because I thought that was pretty cool.
I definitely will. Yes.
All right. Well, congratulations on all three songs and cannot wait to see the next video. So we've got Another Town that just came out. So that's pretty cool. Fans can check out that and don't forget to go to his website as well. So look forward to seeing you live, my friend.
Thank you very much, Kim. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. You take care and we'll see you on the road.
All right. Thanks again.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, Rob Fitzgerald, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up for you. I will be interviewing Katie Hurt, Katie Topham, the East Pointers, rock band Taming Sari, Matt Rogers, Josh Bogart, Petrick, Australian country artist Haley Jensen, who's out on tour right now, Emerson Drive, Ali Walker, Gil Grant, which is going to be awesome to have him on the show. We've got Taylor Joe Miller, Australian country pop trio, The Buckleys, Quinton Blair, Kelly Prescott, Emma Peterson, Simone Fuller, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all the shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, the new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.